Hi guys. In this episode, we are going to be talking about true crime, and that includes real life stories where people have been impacted, there are victims. And so we just wanted to put it out there. If this is something you'd prefer not to listen, please feel free to skip.
Welcome to the XYZ Experiment podcast. Fiona and Dash here. Dash, this week we have been absolutely gripped by the mushroom trial here in Melbourne, and I know it's gone all around the world. And it's got me thinking, are you into true crime? What's your experience of true crime?
Oh, so much to say on this. So much. Where do we start, Fiona?
Where do we start?
I am absolutely obsessed with true crime.
Okay.
And I love crime TV shows and everything. But I think when true crime first came on my radar was as a kid, because the true crime story, the first true crime story I can remember from my childhood was Carmen Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was a young girl who was kidnapped from her house in Templestowe in Melbourne, and her two sisters were there and they weren't taken, and she was murdered. And my cousins lived right near where she lived.
Wow.
And so I remember we went to visit my cousins and we drove past Carmen's house, and they had, she hadn't been found yet, a mannequin dressed in what she was wearing in the front yard. Oh. And kind of like people appealing for information. But why I bring that story up in particular is I feel like that was a crime story that really impacted my childhood, because all parents became incredibly nervous after that about leaving children at home alone, because Carmen's parents worked in a restaurant, and like a lot of migrant families, you know, were working incredibly hard to get established, and so they had left the kids under Carmen's care and were working, and they were by themselves, and then this happened. And anyway, you can look it up online, but it was pretty horrific. And I just remembered after that, you know, there was a very big emphasis on parents knowing, where beforehand we were like free range, we could do whatever. My parents didn't really like leaving us alone, but it became even like tighter, like you weren't allowed to be left alone.
Can I ask you, with, you know, we're talking about true crime, and a lot of people, like a lot of our younger generations, would be thinking about podcasts and TV shows and all that. You obviously wouldn't have had that as a child. Where were you getting your information from? Like, were you reading the newspapers? Were you listening on the radio? Like, what was true crime back then? How were you learning about it?
That was the news, really. Like, it was all over the news. And I just remember, because, you know, back then we would watch the news.
Yeah.
And I think because that visual of seeing the mannequin dressed up as well,
it's what really got you going.
Got me going with that. And it was just conversation. People talked about it heaps.
Yes.
So you'd hear the adults talking about it.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not like there was any podcast or really accessible. And we were young. Like, we were in primary school when this all happened.
Yeah.
And so it's not like we had other ways of getting information, but that was probably my turning point, true crime. But I am obsessed with true crime. Absolutely obsessed.
Is that podcasts, TV shows?
Podcasts, TV shows. And so, you know, my first true crime podcast, we were driving around, we were on holidays and we were in Adelaide. So that we drove from Melbourne to Adelaide, which is a long way, by the way.
Yeah.
And then we were also in Kangaroo Island, and we were listening to Serial.
Okay. Serial is a
podcast.
Yeah.
And it was the first season, and they covered Anad Syed's case in the US where he was accused of killing his girlfriend. And it was just so well produced. I had never listened to a podcast like that. It was American.
Yeah.
I think it's at This American Life that it sits under.
Yeah.
And then after that, I got obsessed with true crime podcasts. And so I almost for a couple of years exclusively listened to different case notes.
So with the true crime, just to nail down on it, is it like violent crime, kidnapping, killings?
Everything.
Okay.
Absolutely everything.
Yeah.
So I think I, as a woman, am often interested, I don't know why, of women who have been victims of crime.
Okay.
And that might be anything from stalking to fraud to assault to kidnapping to murder. I don't know why. And I did read in Glennon Doyle, Mm-hmm. book mm-hmm. that we rehearse tragedy.
Oh, really?
And I feel,
what does that mean?
Like, so, like, we kind of think, what would be the worst thing that could happen to us and how would we rehearse it so that if we were in ever that situation, we would be, we feel like then we'd have an element of control.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I sometimes think that my obsession during that period on true crime was just like, I need to know what the monsters are out there. I can rehearse the tragedy. I can rehearse in my mind, how could I escape this, or how could I survive this, or what would I do differently? Or not that I think any of those victims could have done anything differently. Like, when someone's out to get you, someone's out to get you. Yeah. But I think there's this fascination, particularly with women, and the stats do show that women are much more interested in true crime than men. This fascination of being like, could that have been me? Could I have done something differently? But also, who are these monsters out there?
Mm.
But what about you?
I'm not a big true crime person, to be honest. I mean, I can get obsessed with some things. Like, obviously, the Mushroom Trial, I was really interested in reading about. Maybe because it's a very Melbourne thing as well, that we all, you know, it's something we can all talk about as a community.
And I drive through that town all the time.
Yeah.
And Locke, where the foraging happened.
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
Some of the true crime I've enjoyed, like, I really liked the stuff about Elizabeth Holmes, who invented that, you know, you can take a prick of your blood and that will show you everything you need in your blood system. That story fascinated me.
But how did you follow that story?
A podcast. I actually paid for the podcast.
You
to get,
paid
yeah,
for
yeah,
it?
Yeah, to get did the extra to, stuff.
Did we have to pay for podcasts
yeah,
back then?
Yeah, so, no, some podcasts you still do. So I didn't want just the weekly thing. I wanted the extra stuff on top of it as well. So I paid. This is the first time I'd ever paid for content like that because I wanted to hear the extra stuff. And so that's the first time I've really got into true crime. I find it really difficult to listen to violent true crime.
Yeah.
Anything that's to do with death or kidnapping. I find that I almost can't. And I think that's because I've said this before in our podcast that I lived through the Claremont serial killer.
Mm.
And one of the people that was taken was actually, I was a classmate of hers. She sat next to me in high school. And so that's really close to home. And that's something which, of course, there was no podcast or anything like that, but it's something that Western Australia still to this day was obsessed with, like really obsessed with. The really great thing is the culprit has been caught and jailed, which is magnificent. But that took over 20 years for that to happen. And so when I was it was all through my formative young adult years, there was a lot of stuff that we were really careful about because of it. And we talked a lot about it. And I just don't know, maybe it affected me a bit more than I realised. I can't listen to anything to do with harm to children. I'll go to tears very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And I think that's just because of my experience with all my nieces and nephews. It hits me too hard. I literally can't listen to that sort of stuff because the innocence of a child and just, I can't go there. I just don't want to listen to that. So sometimes when I'm seeing it in the media, I can only listen to so much before I think I can't have any more information.
Yeah.
I just can't handle any more information about that.
It's
really difficult. So I think a lot of my true crimes, you know, like the Wolf of Wall Street, a lot of them seem to be more that sort of stuff.
Like
the
money stuff.
Yeah, like money or like medical fraud. Fraud is another big one that I think I really listen to. You know, just going back to Elizabeth Holmes, like, it almost felt like I could see how that happened. Like, you fake it till you make it. She was trying so hard to make it and faking it, thinking, I actually think she truly believed she could build that machine, but it all just collapsed around her. And so it's fascinating just, and also what the punishment is for a woman and compared to a man, you know. And yes, she did terrible things. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying she didn't. Like, she had to face her consequences. But I feel like there's lots of other people who do have done exactly the same thing and haven't faced the consequences.
Yeah.
That's really fascinating to me as well, about why some people we become so obsessed with and some we don't. Like with the mushroom killer, why are we so obsessed with that? You know, why? Mm. I was listening to some social media this week and they were saying she was a woman that you could pass on the street and never remember again, which is true. She was an everyday woman.
Yeah.
An everyday woman. Yeah. And maybe that's why we're so fascinated, because it could be your neighbour, it could be you, it could be the person down the street, you know. Like, it's just an everyday person.
What drives someone to kill?
Yeah, yeah. What's the fascination? That's what the fascination is. It's so close to home, because I'm the everyday person, you know. Yeah. It's just so close to home.
Yeah. It's interesting you also brought up medical ones, because I'm also fascinated by the medical ones as well, because I often think it's doctors and people who go into research or medical things are often seen a bit like gods and seen a little bit like, we're here to save you. Like, we're here, you know, they start, you know, basically have that oath of do no harm.
Yeah.
But I watched both seasons of Dr. Death.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, people pretending they have the skills, they don't have the skills and end up killing all of these people. And then also that nurse, oh, God, now there's two nurses that, like, have killed people injecting insulin into saline bags and those kind of things that you just go, what happened? Like,
yeah, I must say, I think that's where I lie in any true crime. It's more that. Maybe because I'm in a medical field, that's what fascinates me. Well, not fascinates me, it horrifies me. And, and thinking about, why would you do that? Like, I don't know. It's a weird thing, true crime. It's like the other thing I was thinking of when we were talking about this topic was Chappelle Corby.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay, now that was played out on TV. That was played out on TV. And I have a real core memory of when the judgment was coming through. I had a patient coming in for some fillings. And I had a TV in my surgery. And she said to me before we started, can we turn the TV on because the judge is about to give their judgment? She'd been listening in her car coming. And then she said, can we turn the TV on so we can hear the judgment? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So we turned the TV on. We listened to the judgment live as I'm doing her fillings. We actually stopped at one stage so she could sit up and listen to the actual. And, you know, I know this sounds crazy, but I remember that really heavily in my mind, you know, as a moment of sort of history. We all became obsessed with that case, like obsessed. And all it was some marijuana in a what was it? A surf bag.
Yeah.
Like, but that
was it marijuana
huge.
Or heroin?
No, it was marijuana. It was marijuana in a surf bag. And so it's just, but that became a huge thing in Australia. Huge.
But it's also the Bali Nine.
Yeah.
Remember
Bali
Nine? And I remember because two of them were executed.
Yeah, they were.
And I remember waking up to watch that stream, not that they showed them getting executed, but then like people were talking through
reporting it,
and talking about, because I'm not for the death penalty at all, and how they were like singing gospel music right beforehand. And I just was like, oh my God, like what would you be feeling and thinking in that moment? And again, drug smuggling into Bali.
Yeah, I know. But when we watch that sort of thing live, we're almost like voyeurs, aren't we?
We are.
In a way. You know, I'm just thinking now, just reflecting on it. That sort of stuff where it's really live, we're voyeurs. Like when the, this week when the verdict came through for the mushroom killer.
Yeah.
I had texts on my phone because I was working, so I'm not stopping watching anything. But literally minutes later, there's texts on my phone going, she was found guilty. I know exactly who they're talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't even have to have a context. I knew.
Yeah.
I knew. That's how on tenderhooks everybody was waiting for that. And then I had thoughts about, where are her kids?
I know.
Who's looking after them? Like, it's just... It's a really weird thing, because then there's the other thing as well where, I know this sounds really weird, but then there's photographs in the paper and it's like the worst photographs you can get of a person, you know, and it's just such a, Yeah, it's a really weird voyeuristic thing that we sort of watch. A lot of the true crime podcasts, of course, started from people trying to solve crimes.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
That the everyday man and get together with a group of people.
Yeah.
And they're looking at cold cases and they have actually solved some cases. Like, that's insane, you know, that they investigate and they... Yeah, there's a lot of that as well, I think.
Oh, 100%. And I think the armchair detective, yep. right, is what the nickname is for
those. Oh, is
it? Yeah, okay, yeah. The armchair detective, where they work hard. And I remember, I think they're still on TV, like Unsolved Murders.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you'd watch that. And remember we used to have ads that would come on for Crime Stoppers?
Yes, yeah.
And if you'd seen, you know, this person who did this.
Yeah.
Ring 000. Oh, the other crime story that was a bit close to home, but we had moved out of the area by that point. But it was literally the 7-Eleven at the end of the street where we lived in Caulfield. A woman threw hot coffee on another woman and she died.
Wow. Yeah.
And I remember thinking, what? Like, what? Anyway, that person was also convicted.
Wow.
So I just think, you know, we actually probably brush around it, and there are awful situations where people are victims of crime.
Mm.
And I, even in the mushroom case, I'm just so sad for the people who died. And then
there's no winners.
There's no winners in this situation, and the survivor. But you just sit there and think, gosh, it's all around us. But back to your point, back in the day, we never watched it live. We weren't in the moment of all of it unfolding, unravelling, having up-to-date information at our fingertips, whereas in now we are, and it can really take over
everything. Yeah, I know more about some crimes than I should know.
Yeah.
Because of the social media that I'm following. And then I have to also go, is that true? Is that actually... You know, you have to sort out if that's actually a true thing as well, where you're getting your source from.
But, you know, two things I wanted to also bring up. I feel like more movies and books are being written about crimes as well, like real crimes, not like fictionalized ones. Yeah. And I think the science has gotten better. So a lot of those cold cases from the 80s and the 70s are being cracked. Like I just think of the Golden State Killer. I read that book and that was from someone doing a 23 DNA screen. And they were able to narrow it down. And you just sit there and think, wow, like he wouldn't have got caught. And he was like in his 80s. Yeah. He would have thought he got away with it.
Yeah. That's what happened to the Claremont serial killer. It was DNA.
It was DNA.
Years later. Yeah. Years and years and years later. You know, the other one as well that I'm thinking about with true crime is O.J. Simpson.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Yes, O.J. Simpson.
I watched that live, him in his Bronco, you know.
Driving down the highway. With
all the police, like a police escort almost. That was crazy stuff. And that was probably that's the first time that we saw on our TVs, it almost looked fictionalized, but it wasn't. It was the real thing happening live watching that trial. That was crazy stuff. And back then DNA wasn't really trusted yet.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, now DNA is everything, but back then it was very new still. But yeah, like that's another thing that we were all fascinated with that, all fascinated with that.
And I think it's when they started live streaming from the courtrooms.
Yes, yes.
And so you would see what the prosecutor would say.
Yeah.
You'd hear and see what the defence would say. And what was it? The defence was saying if the glove doesn't fit, the crime.
Now, what was it? It was, I can't remember. It was something about the glove doesn't fit, so the crime doesn't fit or something like that.
Like
it was
that.
Some slogan, which was a really clever slogan.
Yeah. And you just see how performative sometimes they are in the courtroom, which we wouldn't have had a glimpse into back in the day. You only see the court sketches and the write-up in the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, a while ago. But some of the crime podcasts, I'm amazed at the traction they've got for how they're done.
Oh, really?
So Case Files. Did you ever listen to Case Files?
No, I haven't really listened to anything besides that one.
The guy literally reads out. He reads it out.
Okay.
And in quite good detail, like, and it goes for an hour, but it's quite, like, monotone, objective, like, reading out what the file was. And you sit there and I think, how is this engaging? But it has a huge following. And I listened to it for like a good year and a half.
If you look at the top 10 podcasts, most a lot of them are true crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah. Really, really huge true crime. Like that's how big an industry that is. And is it an industry that you should make money off?
I don't know. Well, they're talking about this with the mushroom trial. Like she's not allowed to profit from it, but media can and entertainment can. Like other people can do podcasts and profit off it.
Do a mini series.
They're going to do documentaries. Oh, that's what I was going to say. There's heaps of documentaries on true crime now. And they show footage from the crime scene. They show, you know,
the loss of dignity for the Mendez victims.
Brothers who killed their parents. Yeah. Like if you watch that documentary, it's pretty horrifically visual.
Yeah, I can't watch some of that stuff because I don't know. There's such a fine line. Like you have to show respect for the victims. You really do. You have to show respect for the victims, and is showing their body or the result of whatever's happened to them, I don't know. It makes me uncomfortable. But I know each to their own. But
well, I think you've got a point, and you'll often hear the victims, the families of those victims come out and say, we do not support this show or we do not support this documentary or the dramatisation of this show, which happened with a lot of the shows like the Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, yeah.
They re-dramatised that. You know, there's quite a few of those. So
I couldn't watch that. I think I watched about 10 minutes and thought, I'm done. I just couldn't watch it.
It's pretty horrific. So I do think a lot of the families would prefer none of this would happen.
Yeah, yeah, because it's reliving it for them and
they get nothing from it. 100%.
Yeah, it'd be pretty tough. It'd be really tough to have that everywhere. I would say sometimes for some of them it would feel like it would be they're re-victimised again. It would be really difficult, really difficult.
I think so. To
talk about again and to see again and people profiting off it. And I know, I'm not saying all podcasts do that because, of course, I think there's people who genuinely want to find a solution or share the story. And, you know, I don't know if you call them true crime or not, but another one that I got really fascinated by, who was by the same reporter who did the Elizabeth Holmes one, was the one where Mount Everest, about the tragedy when all the people died on Mount Everest.
Oh, yeah.
I also listened to that as well and I watched the movie of it. Just the storyline of what people trying to push themselves to the limits and maybe crazily so, and what the consequences were of that. And so that really fascinates. I don't know if you call that true crime though. People are dying, but that's the sort of stuff that fascinates me.
They're not breaking the law though.
No, they're not. Nah, not in any way.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes if I'm going to listen to a podcast on that sort of thing, it'll be, I actually look who is the presenter or the producer of that. Mm-hmm. That's where I think I go.
Mm.
And then I go, oh yeah, I've really enjoyed, they've been a trusted source for me in the past. I'm going to listen to that. I think that's where I go with it. It's where I will listen to something because I go, no, I really respect them as a reporter or an author, and I think I'm going to get a really round of view. It's going to be very respectful of the people involved. That's where I think I listen to true crime, yeah.
And I'm exactly the same, like Helen Garner. Have you read any of her books? And so I will read her books because she is a meticulous researcher.
Yeah.
And so she will sit in the courts and, you know, really then report back on that case, but often will bring more of a human element. It's not a journalistic style of telling that story.
Yeah.
And so I did read quite a few of her books on different crimes that she's kind of written about, but I'm exactly with you. And to be fair, I have stopped watching or listening to true crime. I mean, I've engaged with obviously like the mushroom trial through the news, but I don't listen to the podcasts and stuff anymore because, to your point before, it was starting to make me feel uncomfortable. But I will watch fictionalised TV shows on detective shows that, you know, cover crime.
Real life crime?
No, they're like made up crimes.
Okay.
And some of them are a bit wacky. Would that actually happen in real life? But who knows? I mean, to be fair, would we have thought the mushroom thing would have happened in real life? If we didn't know about this, would we ever think, oh, yeah, someone would have done that?
Yeah, because women are poisoners.
But apparently the stats don't really hold that to be true. Maybe of the women who murder, poison is more
highly. It's their mode. Yeah, it's a huge stat.
Yeah.
That's their mode.
But there's a lot of men who poison too.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So, yeah.
Hi, Fiona here. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the XYZ Experiment podcast. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. If you enjoyed our show, tell all your friends and family and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at the XYZ Experiment for all the latest updates and news. Our original music was composed and performed by Luke Champion.